Greetings and God bless you, my friends and neighbors, and welcome to the Wow Factor, the word of wisdom designed to inspire, empower, and enlighten you in just a few short minutes at a time. My name is D.L. Wallace, and I am elated to be the host of this day's call, where our motto is simple: your soul will be blessed in 8 minutes or less. Our request is simple as well. Send this podcast to your coworkers, your neighbors, your loved ones, and friends so they can have some inspiration to make it through the course of their day. Let's jump right into our topic today, my friends, and that topic is simply the halfway house. The halfway house. In the U.S. justice system, there exists a process whereby formerly incarcerated persons, people who are just exiting prison, go to a place called a halfway house. They get to reacclimate themselves to working and living in public life while still having many of the confines of being in a prison. There is a guard, as it were, over the halfway house. And the people who are in the halfway house, they get a chance to go out and work sometimes, but yet they've got to come back. So half their life, they live like a free person, while the other half, they live like a prisoner. Now, in this spiritual life, it's unfortunate, however, it's accurate that there are many people who are living in a spiritual halfway house. Sometimes they're up and sometimes they're down. Sometimes they're struggling. Sometimes they're successful. Sometimes they're happy. Sometimes they're depressed. The Bible talks about this person in Revelations 3:15 and 16, where Jesus outlines that they're neither cold nor hot, but rather are lukewarm. And because they're lukewarm, they'll have to be spit out of his mouth. He also says in James 1 and 8 that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. My friends and neighbors, it is time for us all to permanently leave the halfway house and get on a level of consistency with Christ that maximizes our potential and allows us to live the life that he already destined us to live in the first place. The HALF acronym, I sure hope we get to finish it today, are the four key components that are required to break away from the halfway house and achieve our full potential in Christ. That H reminds us of the importance of habits. There was a great author back in the 19th century called, his name was Dr. Frank Crane, and he said that habits are better than rules because you don't have to keep them, they keep you. And then someone else said that if you show me your habits, I'll show you your future, because what we do habitually determines what we become. Yes, my friends and neighbors, the habitual you will create the future you. Jesus was focused in on habits. If you look at Luke 4 and 16, the Bible says that he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom or habit was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. He had a habit of going to church. Yes, my friends and neighbors, and a habit of reading the scriptures. You see in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, we're encouraged to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Yes, my friends, the habits that we form determine our spiritual background. If the word of Christ is dwelling in us, it'll control the words that come out of our mouth. When the spirit of Christ is on the inside of us and we're habitually praying and rejoicing and studying and learning and growing in grace and achieving in faith, yes, my friends and neighbors, those habits will make us. If you see a great boxer who wins heavyweight championship fights every time, I bet you he has great habits. He's not overweight. In fact, he won't even be allowed to box unless he steps on a scale and proves that he is the weight that he's supposed to be. Yes, my friends and neighbors, we've got to also have the habit that then regulates our weight. It means that we can lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. That A in our HALF acronym simply reminds us of the importance of attitude. Yes, my friends and neighbors, the importance of attitude. You see, there are many people who, like we mentioned, live up sometimes and down other times. Sometimes they're the greatest person in the world to be around, and sometimes you can't wait to get out of their presence. That's an attitude challenge, because even the Bible outlines and encourages us. We discover in 1 Corinthians 2 and 16 that we actually have the mind of Christ. Then we discover in Philippians 2 and 5 that we have to allow the mind of Christ to operate in us. Remember, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, our attitudes are something that we can control by what we allow. Remember, the Bible tells us in Nehemiah 8 and 10 that the joy of the Lord is our strength. See, some think their attitude attitudes will change when their financial situation changes, or when their health situation changes, or when their relationship situation changes. I submit to you that it's on the other side. When our attitude changes, it changes everything else around us. Remember when Paul and Silas in the book of Acts chapter 16 were in a prison? We expected to have a positive attitude then, but they did. They had a positive attitude even behind prison walls. They prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You remember, there can be so many instances you see in biblical times where no matter what a circumstance might have been for a saint of God, it never impacted adversely their attitude. What challenge are you facing, my friends and neighbors? Do you know how to face it with a smile, recognizing that the joy of the Lord is our strength? Can we do like Colossians 3:16 says, that we teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our heart to the Lord? Yes, my friends and neighbors, our attitude does not have to be nasty. On the other hand, it can be wholesome and helpful. Remember, we were encouraged that whatsoever things are true and lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things in Philippians 4:8. Yes, my friends, what goes in our minds determines our attitude. See, even on the cross, Jesus had his mind on paradise. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He looked to the thief on the right and said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Yes, my friends, our attitude can always remain positive because we always know the outcome. I was watching a pre-recorded game not long ago, and I knew the team that was going to win, yet I didn't see the game, so I wanted to watch it for myself. Well, while watching the game for myself, even though the team that I was rooting for had some rough breaks, they fumbled the ball, they messed up this time, messed up that time, I wasn't upset because I already knew the outcome. I knew that my team was going to end up winning. Yes, my friends, by the same token, when we already know the outcome, our attitude can always maintain positivity. You know the outcome. God has called you to triumph. He's going to make your name great. He's going to make you a blessing. He's your shield. He's your protection. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. There's no reason, my friends and neighbors, not to have a great attitude in Christ. This is the first part of our two-part series of Leaving the Halfway House, and I hope you enjoyed this segment. We'll be back again to talk with you on tomorrow. Until then, God bless you, God bless your families, and embrace the new and improving you.